Oh, what a great passage. I was praying this week that, Lord, this sermon is on emotions, what to do with emotions. So just Sunday morning, send all the incredibly emotional people to church. So we're the ones that really need this one. So here you are. We all have emotions. We all experience ups and downs and the emotions that accompany those experiences. We are good at engaging joyful, happy emotions. Those that are not the happy ones, though, what do we do with them? We can go to the extreme end and bury those emotions, have the stiff upper lip, be strong, and basically ignore them. Or we can let our emotions drip out of every pore of our body and be highly emotionally expressive people. Can ignore emotions or be overcome with our emotions. Many of us here in our church family are experiencing some tough situations. Some of the things going on in your lives are heartbreaking. What do you do with those emotions? Do you ignore them? Do you just let them erupt? Engaging and interacting with our emotions is very important. Studies show that people who don't deal with emotions in a healthy way are affected both physically and mentally. And they often try to cope with their emotions in external ways, harmful external ways. Our culture isn't much help to us. Media and social media is driven by emotions. It seems to be missing any kind of discerning thinking, any kind of critical thinking. Just move on emotions. Thankfully, God is so good to us. Through his word, he speaks about emotions. And he does it through his servant, the prophet David. The Holy Spirit directed David in his experiences with his emotions, which should clue us into our need to engage in our emotions in a healthy way, a way that David displays for us in the book of Psalms, which is full of emotions and gives us some ways to attend to them. So this morning, we're looking at Psalm 31 and some others and see that David did two things with his emotions. Number one, he acknowledged them, and number two, he acknowledged them with God's truth. So let's pray and then look at these two truths from this chapter. Father, we submit ourselves to you and ask that you would cut through our blockages, our blinders, our deaf ears. You would open us to your word, that you would connect the dots for us, what's happening in our lives, what's happening in our hearts, in our minds. Father, we submit to your work. Please come and do your awesome work in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say a few more things about emotions to lay a foundation for what we are looking into this morning. In the Bible, God has revealed himself as having emotions. So anger in Deuteronomy 9, verse 22. Love in Jeremiah 31, verse 3. Joy in Zephaniah 3, verse 17. And jealousy in Joshua 24, verse 19. Those are just a few, just to name a few. And looking at God the Son, Jesus Christ, who is fully God, we find God having grief in John 11, verse 35, compassion in Mark 6, verse 34, and sorrow in Matthew 26, verse 38. Again, just to name a few. God has all these emotions, never out of control, but held and expressed in perfect holiness. He's the only one that can do that. And in Genesis 1, verse 27, there we are told that God made people in his image. And so, among other things, we are emotional. We have feelings. That's how God created us. He has emotions, so we have emotions. Along with this, when the Bible speaks of our hearts, that refers to our whole person, the thoughts, beliefs, motives, character, and emotions. In Matthew 22, verse 27, Jesus was asked, which is the greatest commandment? And he replied, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So we are called to love God with all our heart, which includes our emotions. So we are to love the Lord with our emotions, engaging and holding and expressing them in a God-honoring way. Ignoring them would not be a God-honoring way. It would be the equivalent of ignoring our heart. So how are those found in Christ, how are we to engage and interact with and think about and discern our emotions in a God-pleasing way, in a biblical way? Now, the answer I see in Psalm 31 seems simple, but living it out is not simple. Following these two points is very hard. In fact, it's painful. Some of us here will refuse right off the bat to practice these two points, while others will embrace them, and still others will think they're doing them and that they are amazing at it, but they're actually not doing it. I want to encourage all of us emotional people to give this sermon some thought, to talk about it with some trusted friends, and consider following David's lead in the Psalms. For this points to, for what we're talking about, is part of us becoming more and more Christ-like. The sanctification process has to do with how we interact with our emotions, as well as our worship of the Lord. So this is a very important topic. So please listen, take notes, and talk about it with someone afterwards, or put some more thought into it later on. The two directions I want to give us this morning on what to do with our emotions are, as I said, number one, acknowledge them or face them, and number two, face them with God's word. So number one, acknowledge or face your emotions. Many times we don't pay attention to our emotions. When there are these big life events or just ordinary life happening, we don't really pay attention to our emotions. We are just mad or upset or sad, but we don't acknowledge anything about it to ourselves. We don't face what we are feeling. We don't say to ourselves, I'm really sad right now. We just plow forward for some reason and don't think about the emotions. But look at David in Psalm 31, verses 6 to 13. David is exposing his emotions and feelings to the Lord. He's facing what's going on with him. Listen to these words and the emotions connected to them, okay? Listen to the emotions. Remember, David was a man that the Holy Spirit used to write these things down. And he wasn't a robot. He didn't all of a sudden go into a trance and then, no. God used his full faculties in writing this out. Now, listen to this man with emotions writing this out. Verse 6. I hate those who pay regard to worthless idols. Verse 7. You have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul. Verse 8. You have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. Verse 9, I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also. Verse 10, for my life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity and my bones waste away. Verse 11, because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. Verse 12, I have been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. Verse 13, For I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. Here is a man who has hatred, has afflictions, is in deep distress, has so much grief that his eyes, his soul, and his body are wasting from crying. His life seems to be one sorrowful thing after another. He doesn't know if he can make it. People dread being around him. He's forgotten. He has enemies who have trashed his name to the point that his neighbors and people whom he meets on the street flee from him. Plus, these enemies whisper and plan terrible things against him, ultimately wanting to kill him. So don't miss what's happening here. This is David facing and thinking and acknowledging his emotions and feelings to the Lord. He's spilling it out to the Lord. Men, in particular, listen up. Too often, we follow what culture says. Men should be strong and not show emotions, not be in touch with their emotions. That's too feminine. But look at David, that godly, godly man facing his emotions. And he often did this in Psalm chapter 6, verse 6 to 7. I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. He is so sad and depressed that he drenches his couch with tears. Psalm 13, verse 1 to 2. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? David's feeling forgotten and ignored by the Lord, feeling like his enemies stand triumphant over him. Psalm 25, verse 16 to 19, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. Consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. Consider how many are my foes and with what violent hatred they hate me. He's lonely. He is deeply troubled and distressed and afflicted with a bunch of people that hate him. Anger, terror, fear, grief, sadness, loneliness, rejection. These are some of the emotions David went through in his life. And by them being in the scriptures, we know that he faced those emotions. He acknowledged them. They were real. He had them. He didn't ignore them. He didn't stuff them down and not talk about them. He was aware of what was going on inside him. He identified it. I am lonely. I am sad. I am angry. I feel like a nobody with the Lord himself ignoring me. I don't feel like I can make it. With so many things like this recorded in the Bible, we should clue in that being aware and somehow working through our emotions is good and is something that God wants us to do. As I said, when the Bible speaks of the heart, that refers to our whole person, thoughts, beliefs, motives, character, and emotions. So much of what we do is decided in our hearts. Like Jesus said, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, Matthew 15, verse 18. Or as we saw throughout the book of James, what's in the heart will be lived out in one's life. So we have all kinds of things going on in our hearts, and we act on them. That makes noticing and facing our emotions really important. And what we can take from Psalm 31 and many other psalms is to face our emotions, acknowledge our feelings. The psalms even help us put words to what we are feeling. Like, Lord, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and I'm afflicted. Face your emotions. That's number one. Number two, after we acknowledge our emotions, we face them with God's word, with God's truth. Listen to this passage again. Psalm 31. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress, and for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net they have hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. And then there's the verses 6 to 13 where he gets into acknowledging his emotions. And then at verse 14, he starts again with the reality of who God is. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. O Lord, let me not be put to shame, for I call upon you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go silently to Sheol. Let the lying lips be mute, which speak insolently against the righteous in pride and contempt. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you and worked for those who take refuge in you in the sight of the children of mankind. In the cover of your presence, you hide them from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was in a besieged city. I had said in my alarm, I am cut off from your sight. But you heard the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cried to you for help. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. It's pretty amazing what David does here. He takes his emotions, that verse 6 to 13, and sandwiches them between the reality of God. He thinks about them with the truth from God. God is the refuge. He is the deliverer. He's the rock, the fortress who saves, the one who leads and guides, the redeemer, the faithful God who has abundant goodness to give, who holds his children in his hands, who preserves his children, who hears his children's cries for help, who loves his children. He is the one he's the one to trust because he is God. So be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait on the Lord. What do you do with those very real emotions that you have constantly in your life, rising up in all kinds of difficult situations? You face them with the truth of who God is and what he does. You take all those emotions to the one who hears the voice of your pleas for mercy when you cry to him for help, and then listen to him through his word, the Bible. He is the Redeemer. He is the rescuer who loves you and guides you and has goodness to pour upon you. He's the one who is God. No one else, nothing else is God. He alone is God. Listen to Psalm 11, verse 4. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see, his eyelids test the children of man. We can be assured that the Lord sees what is happening to you and in you, and he is on the throne ruling over everything. Psalm 19 says that God's word is perfect, right, righteous, true, pure. It revives the soul, making us wise, enlightening our hearts, bringing joy to our heart, warning us. What's better than facing our emotions than with the reality of God and his word, which revives us, makes us understand what's going on, brings joy to us, and warns us? We've got to face our emotions, not ignore them or have them run out of control, but face them with the Word of God so that we know that our emotions are not the end of the story. Our emotions don't dictate our lives, but are governed by who God is and what God does and can do. We expose our emotions to the reality of God. We face them with God. Some of us might think that this is all a little too self-centered, a little therapy session at church. But I tell you, if you have gone through any counseling yourself or have taken someone, counseled someone, you find that people who are self-centered have a very unhealthy and unbiblical approach to their emotions. They are often controlled by their emotions and therefore making emotionally charged decisions or ignoring their emotions, but both types use and abuse people to meet their emotional needs. Those that follow what we've looked at today are the ones who are more able to be others-focused because they are engaged with their emotions in a healthy way. Their emotions are not lurking underneath the surface, controlling all kinds of behavior. They are bringing them to the reality of the Lord and are then more able to love and care for others. So church, let's take our lead from God through David. Let's face and acknowledge our emotions. But not just in the way of, oh, I'm sad right now. Okay, I did what Edgar said on Sunday. What's next? Not that kind of a flippant kind of a, oh, I'm sad. Okay, now I don't see any difference. Not in that kind of a way. Look at what David did. He's got hate. And why does he have hate? Psalm 31, verse 6. I hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. He has hate over those who worship idols and not the true and only God. That's why he has hate. Look at Psalm 31, verse 11 to 13. I'm sure he was feeling lonely and rejected and sad and scared. Why? Because of verses 11 to 13. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel. I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. For David, it's not just a matter of saying, oh, I feel rejected, and carry on. He takes the time to think about and face the reason for that feeling. What's bringing the feeling? And pours all of it out to the Lord. He's sad and lonely because of all the rejection and hatred he has received. That's the road to becoming more Christ-like. What is going on? What am I feeling because of what is going on? We need to think about it. Face what is going on. Face our emotions. But don't stay there. Face them with the reality of God in His Word, the Bible. You're fearful, lonely, angry, shame, despair, the Lord listens. And the Lord is your refuge and strong tower who brings reality to your situation, who brings the truth of who you are to the situation, who brings healing, who gives you strength to persevere. He brings correction. He guides you and gives you wisdom. He reassures you of His love for you and your safety with Him. Church, we are made in the image of God and are emotional people. Face your emotions. acknowledge them, seek what the Lord's word says, addressing your anger, sadness, depression, frustration, loneliness, despair. Face your emotions with God's word, and then watch the Holy Spirit transform our church family. Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, there are many of us who want this, who want to live like this. We really do. And we're a little stuck, and we need your help, your power, your strength, your encouragement, your reassurance. Help us, Lord, to face what's going on. It can be hard. We don't want to face it. We think we are, but we're not. Lord, help us to see those emotions, to see what's underneath it, and to expose it all to your word, to bring the reality of your word and face our emotions. Lord, we all need to do this. We all need to do this. Would you bring your conviction? Would you bring your encouragement? And would you change us into being more Christ-like with how we interact with our emotions? For your praise, for your glory, we ask this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Do you stand and sing with us?